Good morning, Thrive. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Man, y'all still asleep out there? All right. Well, good morning. I am Joey, and today we're going to finish up our series Brand New. All right. But I got a story for you that we are going to look at right here. So can everybody hear me well? That thing just got loud, didn't it? All right. So it's a story about a young man who just got his driving permit. And he goes to his dad and he says, "Hey, Dad." And his dad's also a minister. And he says, "Hey, Dad, let's talk about, you know, I need to see about using the car." And his dad said, "All right, come to my study." So he takes him to his study, and he gets in there, and he says, "Yeah, we can talk about using the car, but there's three things I want you to do." And he said, "All right, yeah, what is that?" He said, "I want you to bring your grades up in school. I want you to study the Bible, and I want you to get your hair cut." He says, "Okay." So a month goes by. He comes back to him and says, "Hey, Dad, can we talk about that, you know, bar in the car?" And his dad said, "Yes, come on." So he goes into the study again, and he says, "You know, son, I'm really proud of you. You have brought your grades up, and man, you have been diligently studying the Word of God, but you ain't cut your hair." And the son sits there, just pauses for a moment, and he says, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about this long and hard. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. Hey, and even Jesus had long hair." And the dad says, "Yes, you're right. They did have long hair. But they also walked everywhere they went." So, I thought that was pretty good. It was a lot funnier when I read it. Okay, so brand new, and our subject today is going to be, what is love? You know, we've had this, there's been an ongoing theme throughout this series, and I bet if you thought about it for just 2 or 3 seconds, you could probably tell me what it is. Do you know what it is? What does love require of me? That's been a common thread through this whole series, is what does love require from me? And today, we're going to talk about, well, what is love? You know, what does love require of you? Or what does love require of me? What does love require of us? But what's the implications of the word love in that statement? So we're going to talk about love, what love is. But it's brand new. Jesus came, when he came some 2,000 years ago, everything he taught, everything that he lived out, everything that he did was brand new. It was a new way of everything. It was a new covenant. It was a new command. It was a new ethic, which resulted in a new movement. You know, they had set up the temple model, which is sacred places where they read sacred texts interpreted by sacred men to create a sincere following. And this is what Jesus, when he came and his teachings and the way that he lived his life, all that was shaking the foundations of what everybody knew. And so this morning, I'm praying that your foundation, your beliefs, is shaken just a little bit. God, shake us. That you're shaken just a little bit. You know, there's a bunch of different Greek words for love, and the Greek words for love, we'll just start there. Eros, which is a romantic or a sexual love. And this specific word is not even used in the New Testament. But that's where we get our word, the English word, erotic. It's a pretty common word, pretty common Greek word used for love. Then there's another one, which is philia. And philia is a brotherly love or a friendship love. And so where a spot where this was used in the New Testament is where Jesus is talking to Peter just before Jesus' ascension, and he's with Peter, and he says, Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, you know, I phileo you. I brotherly love you. I love you as a friendship. That's an instance where that was used. And then there's another one that I'm sure we all have heard is agape. Agape love. And agape is used to speak of God's love that he has for the world and that Christians are supposed to emulate. And there are many other words, a lot more Greek words for love, but these are just some ones that are used real frequently and are real common. Next slide, please. I want to read this. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. I just want you to keep that in your memory. We're going to come back to that a little bit later in this message, but love God, love people. You know, Christ introduced a new kind of love to the world, and whenever they was trying to articulate in words what the type of love that Christ had, they had to use, Christians use words already in existence to explain the quality of this love. They didn't even have a word that really encompasses the fullness and the richness of the kind of love that God has. Love was communicated primarily, so with Christians, love was communicated primarily by their selfless, by their self-sacrifice in imitation. Self-sacrifice in imitation of Christ, not by the word agape. Does that make sense? So they had this word agape, which was the closest thing to the way that Christ did things, was agape love. So it's a love that Christ, God has for humanity. And then Jesus came, and it was something brand new, and they was used to this, to doing these things his old way. But he says, no, we're going to do things a new way. And so they didn't really have a word for that. And so they used the word agape. But it was their self-sacrifice in imitation of Christ. Okay? I got a question for you. Is love an emotion or is it a verb? Is love an emotion or is it a verb? Yes. I don't know how else to answer that. Is it an emotion? Yes. Is it a verb? We all know what a verb is. A verb is an action. So, yes. I wrote that down. Is love emotion or verb? Yes. I don't know how she answered that. It's both. You're going to have some emotion, but you can have all this love all built up. Mike, you can have it all built up inside. You have all this love inside of you, but if you don't put any action to that love, who's it benefiting? Nobody. So it is an emotion, and it is also a verb. So the correct answer is yes. Okay. Galatians 5, chapter 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Is your actions expressing itself through love? You know, people treat this as a game. That like it's a game. We all heard of the game rock, paper, scissors. We've all played. Show of hands, who's played that game? Yeah, we've all played that game. Rock, paper, scissors, and they're all pretty much equal. One does overpower the other one eventually, but it's like, I think it's a rock crushes scissors, scissors cuts the paper, and the paper covers the rock. Is that right? Did I get them rules right? So, but they play this game with love, mercy, grace. Love, mercy, grace. Am I going to show John he's done something bad to me? Love. Do I show him love, or do I show him mercy, or do I show him grace? It's not one without the other. The only thing that counts, y'all remember? The only thing that counts is love, is faith expressing itself in love. So if I love my brother, I'm going to extend some grace to my brother. I'm going to extend some mercy to my brother. You know, I'm going to date myself now. How many of us remember WWJD? Yeah. What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? That's just another way of saying, what does love require of me? What would Jesus do? What does love require of you? That's what Jesus done. What would Jesus do? And so how would we know what would Jesus do? Well, if you go to Scripture and you look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, this is what Jesus says. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's what Jesus would do. That's what he told us. Those are his words. Those are red letter. Red letter, anybody know a red letter? That's old Christianese, red letter. It's when Jesus spoke in the Bible, they did it in red letter. Those were Jesus' words. Those were red letter words. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Joey says. That's not what Pastor Nathan says. That's not what Pastor Robert Moore says. That's what Jesus says. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, we don't really deal with persecution in the United States. We live in the United States of America, y'all. We ain't got no persecution. The worst thing you're going to have as far as something like that is sharing the gospel. You know, just saying, hey, Jesus loves you, and what he did for me, he can do for you. And we get a little fearful, and we like, no, I can't do that. They're gonna bash me on social media. Yeah, all right, so we're on Facebook and all those. I don't even do Facebook, y'all. But YouTube, so we're all over there. So I'm just gonna put this out there so everybody knows. Joey is messed up. I'm messed up. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. Been to places that I'm ashamed of. In my late teens, very early 20s, I was not a good person. But I'm a lot better now than what I was then. You know, bad things. All forgiven. It's all behind me. Probably even some illegal things. No. Yeah. Some illegal things. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. And if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them." How many of you ever heard this right here said before? First time's your fault, second time's my fault. What would Jesus do? What does love require? Huh? Jesus said, if they slap you on this side, John, turn and give them the same opportunity on the other side. And if they take your coat from you, and if they want your shirt, give them your shirt. Don't withhold it from them. No, that's not even right. That's what Jesus said. So, what does love require of me? Next slide. What is love? First point, what is love? Love, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul explains it, and it's a pretty good explanation of what this love is. It says love is patient in chapter 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there is prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Love never fails. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. So this is what love is. The Apostle Paul is telling us there that this is what love is. And what does love require of you? So when that person who sued you for something that you did or that you didn't do, what's your feelings towards that person? Or if somebody hurt someone that you love, what's your feelings towards that person? Next point. Oh, that looks a lot like the first point. What is love? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm going to not touch this screen, Yvette, so it doesn't go back and forth. And you don't have to work real hard. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I think that love is up there very first and foremost, because without this, none of this other stuff happens. Without love, there is no joy. Without love, there is no peace. Without love, there is no forbearance or patience. Without love, there is no kindness. There is no goodness. faithfulness, gentleness, and without love, there's no self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Without love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. He's not in tune. It's like trying to play a guitar that's not been tuned, that the strings have just been put on and they've been tightened up just a little bit and you try to play that. Or a piano, a keyboard, it comes to him, but a piano, a big baby grand piano. So you could have this huge baby or this huge grand piano and they just put strings in it. But it's not going to sound good until somebody comes and tunes it. Did you hear what I said? It's not going to sound good unless somebody comes and tunes it. Because it's not even going to sound like a baby. It's not even going to sound like a grand piano or a baby grand. What's a real expensive guitar? Taylor. Be like a Taylor with brand new strings on it, never been tuned. You're going to be out of key without love. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. You know, there's going to be those at the judgment throne that are going to be there, and they're going to be like, "Hey, we did this. I did this in your name, and I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. I prophesied in your name." And Jesus' response is going to be, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I don't know you." And they're like, "Hey, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean you don't know us? We did all this stuff in your name." Love. Yeah, but you didn't love people. You didn't love people. Third point. What is love? What is love? You know, Pastor Nathan, a few weeks ago, and this might be a Pastor Nathan quote, I don't know. If it is, I wrote it down and it like smoked me. I was like, yeah, I got to write that down. It's your devotion to God is illustrated, demonstrated, and authenticated by your love for others. I don't know. You know, it was 6 years ago. About 6 years ago, whenever Pastor Nathan first went through this series and is what does love require of me? And it changed me. It changed me. And I'm hoping that it impacts you just half as much as it's impacted me. And I know it's impacted some people already, because in conversations, not even inside the church, they're like, "Man, you know, this was happening the other day, and I just had to stop and think, what is love? What does love require of me? What does love require of me? How should I react to this circumstance? How should I engage this person when they're engaging me this way? When they're engaging me with hostility and with anger, how do I respond back to them?" It's in love. No question. It's in love. Galatians 5:14 says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command." I don't know if you know how powerful of a statement that just prefaced. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't make a difference if your neighbor's a Republican, if your neighbor's a Democrat, if your neighbor's an independent. Don't make a difference what color their skin is, what their accent's like. Don't make a difference what their history is, what their past is like. Because we all have a past. I told you a while ago I'm a messed up individual. And what does love require from me? To love others as I love myself, or to treat others like I want to be treated. I have a struggle. That's the struggle. That's the real struggle. The struggle is, church, how do you feel about the person who's wrong someone in your family, or the drunk driver who caused an accident, maybe that took somebody's life, or the person who is suing you for, you know, Lord knows whatever. People get sued happy nowadays. They sue for all kinds of stuff. How are you reacting to them? Do you love that person? That's the real test. Back to, this is a litmus test. You want to know how you love God? It's how you love people. You can't do one without the other. These two coexist. You know what I'll say? You know, because there's not a checklist that you're like, okay, well, I read my Bible this morning. I prayed for 30 minutes. I did this and I did that. And so I've done all these things. I've asked to be forgiven today. So my checklist is good. So me and God's all good. This is the only checklist. This. The only. You want to know how you love God? How do you love people? And that person that we talked about just a while ago that maybe did something, or there was a drunk driver, or, you know, whatever, suing you. You're driving, you know, I know people struggle with driving. How well are you doing this? How well are you doing this? Because how well you're doing this is how well you're doing this. Oh, I love God. But you know, that dude that was over here the other day, you know, behind closed doors, and I'm talking bad about this person, I'm not doing this. I'm not loving that person. You know? That's the litmus test. What does love require? Requires everything. It requires everything. He said, "But Joey, I can't do that." There's some stories in the Bible about these types of circumstances. There's a story of Moses Everybody know the story of Moses? He's before the burning bush. He's before the God. You know, he's before God in the burning bush. You know, that God, the one that created everything, the one that resides in unapproachable light, the one whose throne is surrounded by cherubims, and they're just crying out and just shaking the ground, holy, holy, holy. That's the God. Moses was with him, and he was here this morning too. And Moses, and God's telling him, say, hey, man, you're going to do this. You're going to go back here. You're going to go before Pharaoh, and you're going to lead my people into freedom. And Moses, no, I'm jacked up. That's Joy Ridgel translation. He says, no, I'm jacked up. I can't go back there. I killed a dude. And God says, and it's like, no, I want you to go do this. Well, I can't even talk well. I can't talk well. I can't do it. But this is what God has to say. God says, I know that you can't in yourself, but I can, and I will through you. There's lost people out there. There's lost people out there. There's a Jesus tells a story of a guy that got hurt and was robbed and almost he was almost beat to death, stabbed or whatever. It doesn't go there. He was very badly injured, and he tells a story that he's telling a story about, you know, love your neighbor, and it's like, well, who's your neighbor? And he's like, everybody is, and this is a story. I'm gonna prove it to you. So there's a, and I'm got to be quick on time. So the guy's been beat up, been robbed. The religious guy comes by. I'm going to get involved with that. I'm going to walk on the other side of the road, maybe even in the ditch. I'm going to get away. I ain't getting involved there. There's another person comes by. Nope, I ain't no Levi. I'm not getting there. And then a Samaritan comes by. The Samaritans were people that were lower than dogs to the Hebrew people, to the Israelites. Lower than dogs. They could be traveling to some place, and it would take a day to get there, but they had to cut through Samaria to get there. No, sir, I'll take 5 days and walk around Samaria. That's how bad I dislike that. That guy come by, the Samaritan. Come by and helped show God's love. And there's people that you come in contact that only you are going to come in contact with, that only you are the one that can show them the love that God has for them. Only you. They're lost. And they're not going to be found. How many of you have ever really, 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 really been lost? Like, lost. Okay, that's a horrible feeling. And what would you think if it'd be like if you was lost and you really didn't even know you was lost? You didn't even know there was anything to be scared of or to be warned against or to be reserved about. What would that be like? That's even worse. And there's people that are out there that if we don't show them the love, because it requires everything. It requires you to lay your stuff, your selfish ambitions, your desires to the side and do what God wants you to do, which is tell people. The gospel, you know, it's like, oh, Joey or Nathan, or I don't even know how to share the gospel. This is easy. Let you know and say, write this down. It's your story. That's the gospel. It's your story. Joey Ridgel was a jacked up individual. I made pacts with the devil. I did all kinds of bad things when I was young. But God had a different plan. But God. But God. You know, today I got my beautiful wife was in the first service, and then I have three wonderful sons and three super duper grandsons. That's what God had in store for me. That's what God's plans was. God's plans. Hey, my plans are to nurture you, to build you up, to bring you to the top, to encourage you, to keep you, to protect you. These are my plans for you. That was his plans. Everything. It requires everything. Everything that you don't possess in yourself, this is what it requires. It requires you to be kind. It requires you to be gentle. It requires you to be patient. This is what love requires. You know, what is love? Love is this. Love was suspended between earth and heaven about some 2,000 years ago. This is what love is. Paid a price that he didn't owe. And even for that, when God thought, because God, there's no time with God. So God said, hey, you know, we're going to do all this right here. God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit got together and said, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to make this, and they're going to screw this up. They're going to mess it up. Jesus said, I'll do it. That's me. That's my role. Made a sacrifice then. So you know what? Yeah, I want to do it. Because I want relationship. I want relationship. That's what love is. Selfless sacrifice. Serving others. For their well-being. Okay, I want to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are holy. You are holy. And Lord, that your love would just saturate us, God. Lord, let your presence just rest. God, Lord, let us be changed from the inside. God, Lord, that we would not leave like we came, but God, Lord, that we would be changed in the way that we treat people. God, let us love others. Let us love people like you love people. God, Lord, that your passions and your desires would become our passions and our desires. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.